Jacksonville University throws a birthday party this week, and they're inviting the whole community to join in. Good Monday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. The show's always live at 9. Make sure to subscribe to the daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and watch the show video on demand at our partners, tvjax.com. Just ahead, we'll tell you about JU's big charter day of service, what it means for the school, and also the neighborhood around it, Arlington. Get on the line now with your thoughts about that at 549-2937. Then later, musician John Citrone, plus our own Cole Pepper, on a shocking finish at the Masters. All of that and more ahead this hour. But first this morning, Jacksonville University is gearing up to commemorate its charter day this Friday. The school is celebrating the anniversary of its founding 82 years ago. As a day of service with hundreds of students, faculty, staff, and alumni fanning out all across Arlington to help more than a dozen nonprofits with a whole range of projects. This is a big event, and it's part of the neighborhood's Renew Arlington turnaround effort as well. We're going to begin the hour by telling you all about this. Here with more, we welcome Tim Cost, president of Jacksonville University. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also here, retired Army Brigadier General Michael Fleming. He's the Chief Government, Military, and Community Relations Officer at JU. Good to see you.
Good morning.
And here's our question to callers. When it comes to JU's Charter Day and also Renew Arlington, especially if you live in Arlington, we want your calls right now. What are your thoughts about what the school is doing to improve the neighborhood? What are your thoughts about Arlington? Give us a call at 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet us or weigh in on our Facebook page. And so in 1934, Tim Cost, JU was established. This Friday, you'll be celebrating that anniversary and a whole lot more.
Right, yeah. And thanks so much for having us on, Melissa. It's always a pleasure to be here and talk about the community. I was fortunate enough to graduate from JU in 1981. In between 1981 and when we came back in 2013, every town undergoes changes. Certainly Arlington did. And we thought rather than just be a university in Arlington, we would be of Arlington. And so we've added tremendous talent like General Fleming to join us. And we started out by, can we celebrate a small group, alumni, donors, and others who want to celebrate our, quote, birthday, as you put it.
Uh-huh.
And then very quickly, this exploded into what I think really works, which is it's an entire day and now a week of service where more than 1,000 people affiliated with JU go out into the community and do great work. So we're proud to be part of it.
A lot will be happening. General Fleming, what are some of the activities that are on tap for this Friday?
Well, Melissa, we've got 30 different projects, primarily in Arlington. One of the ones we're really excited about, we're actually opening up with partnering with Feeding Northeast Florida, St. Vincent's Healthcare, and also Humane Society. They actually have something on campus for Feeding Northeast Florida, has a project where they provide food for residents. And then St. Vincent's Healthcare doing health screenings, and then also for the Humane Society handing out pet food and things to for Arlington residents, in addition to going out into the community, particularly into the elementary schools, and our athletic teams are doing things there.
A lot happening, and if you're just tuning in, especially if you live in Arlington, we want your calls about this Friday's JU Charter Day of Service and the efforts of Renew Arlington. Lots of projects happening. We'll go to your calls in a moment at 549-2937. And when you first came back full circle, Tim, going from student to alum to president of JU, for years now you've been vocal about the need to make sure that the surrounding neighborhood around the campus is sharing in the success of the university. What do you see as the biggest challenges ahead when it comes to joining with all the neighborhood groups in Arlington to really improve the community?
Sure. And first off, we see Jacksonville University as we love Arlington. We are digging in. We are investing. We'll take every invitation. The general and I get to go out all over Arlington. We're very pleased to do it. Community groups, business groups, church groups. People need to know that this university that has a $222 million economic impact on the region, that is responsible for $87 million in labor income, that's generating over 2,200 jobs, that we are, we want to dig in, we want to have an impact there. So to your question about what the challenges are, I'm very pleased to say, and the general can fill you in, that as we reached out to everybody from the mayor's office, to the JTA, to the JEA, to elected officials of all types, Tallahassee and back, and said, we want to do what we can do to help. create in Arlington that we can all be proud of, because it certainly benefits Arlington, it benefits Jacksonville, Florida, it benefits Jacksonville University. So Mike has been working very hard on the necessary steps to fund the right things.
And a big part of this involves improving infrastructure, roads, blight. A lot of those areas that are challenges in Arlington, you think can help address the more root issues of the economy, jobs, safety in the area, right?
That's right, Melissa. I was fortunate to be born and raised here in Jacksonville, so I'm very familiar with Arlington. And one of the big parts of it is the approval last November of the community redevelopment area for Arlington area. I think the best example is that is out by the airport. You can see all the redevelopment out there. There was a community redevelopment area there. And so we're in the process. The city council and the mayor are appointing an advisory board. And then starting in 2017, there'll be some funds specifically from that, from the ad valorem taxes that will go towards infrastructure. And then JTA, JEA, and Florida Department of Transportation also doing something called Complete Streets, which is really, in our case, looking at University Boulevard and Merrill. How can we improve that, make it more bikeable, walkable, so it'd be better for the businesses?
There's also something called Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design, or CPTED, working on the built environment to make the area as appealing to law-abiding people and businesses as possible and as unappealing to those who would want to commit crimes or wreak havoc. Everything from landscaping to, as you said, more bike paths, better lighting. All of that's part of this too, isn't it?
Right. All of it is part of the Renew Arlington. The broad umbrella for this initiative is Renew Arlington. And there's something also called Arlington 2020, which Impact Church is leading to get the grassroots organizations to work together. So really, this is all across Arlington, as the president had talked about. It's not just one thing. It's an entire revitalization of Arlington.
What about the Arlington Expressway? Tim Cost, when it was built decades ago, it was seen as such a boon for the area. But over the years, what it does is it encourages people to drive right through and not stop.
Yeah, and what we started our focus on was what can we do inside the campus before we start to look up and down University and Merrill and Arlington Expressway. And a lot of the concepts you're describing relative to, is it safe? Is it walkable? Is it well lit? Can people move easily around it? Those are the concepts we've put in on our campus. We've invested $30 million inside our own grounds.
Yeah.
Because if a strong JU in Arlington then can go out and offer assistance as it needs to. So Arlington Expressway is a guy who came here from the Northeast. I hear about it a fair bit from a lot of our visitors.
Oh, really?
Remember, we attract students from almost all 50 states and a couple of dozen foreign countries, and they get to us in all kinds of different ways. So we're working on that as well.
Let's go to your calls now, especially if you call Arlington home as we look ahead to Friday's JU Charter Day. It's a day of service. What are your questions about JU's impact on Arlington? And call us up if you're a JU alum as well. 549-2937. Robert in Arlington. Hi, Robert. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. And we're really glad to see JU getting excited about Arlington. They've been there for a long time. But I have a business in Arlington since the 70s. And I look at a lot of businesses there. Pete Lofton's boat's been there for a long time. There's the dance club, the Savoy, that's quite attracts a lot of people from all over the county, I should say. And the one thing and I've reached out to JU over the last month, particularly the school, Davis School of Business, of how you could help local businesses. It's kind of like adventure starts in Arlington, Tree Hill, places like that. Because I know it's good to talk about what all the government agencies can do, but, it really starts with the small business people. There's been people there for 30, 35 years, and we need some help in promoting those businesses. I mean, the fancy businesses, look at the local population, boom, they move to town center. But the folks that have been there for 30 years, 40 years, are very professional, very good at what they do. But they need some help in really promoting adventure in Arlington and activities and businesses in Arlington. And the businesses are what pay the taxes that support the government programs.
Yeah. Thanks for that call, Robert. That's Robert in Arlington.
Thanks, Robert. This is Tim. I'm going to let the general's got a lot of good thoughts on this because he works hard on this, but I could not agree with you more. I mean, obviously, we're blessed that we get to do a lot of business through the Davis College of Business, and the Davis family's been extraordinary in their support of the university. So working with the CSXs and the Everbanks and the Web.coms, you're right, that is a very natural and logical connection, but the core, the small businesses that are in and around our university, you were dead on and exactly right, and we've asked Mike to do a lot of work on that if you want to spend a minute on it.
I will, and we've just started in that. We actually have one of our professors right now who has six of his students are actually helping six individual businesses with business plans. And so that was sort of putting our toe in the water as a start point this semester, and we'd anticipate starting in the fall to greatly expand that to help other businesses and work closely with businesses in Arlington and improve them.
Lots of calls from people in Arlington and people who used to live there. Anna in San Marco. Hey, Anna. Good morning.
Melissa, it's Anna Dooley from Greenscape.
Oh, hi.
And hi there. I just wanted to let everybody know that we are delighted to be partnering as part of the JU Charter Day. And we were brought into the project last year and had all these wonderful students and faculty members. This year, I think we have four different planting opportunities, two on campus and two in community parks. And the overwhelming response of volunteers and working with JU is just thrilling. And I grew up in Arlington, and I always revered JU as this wonderful institution of higher learning. But now they have advanced, and they are out in the community and trying to do so much for the residents that they affect every day.
Thanks for that call, Anna. Anna Dooley of Greenscape calling in.
Thank you, Anna. Just a very quick comment on that. It's great to hear. We really enjoyed working with you last year. If you look at it this year, this is a project that under Mike's leadership, along with Clayton Levins and some others, has gone from what people thought might be 100 or 200 people participating from JU out in the community in less than 2 years to over 1,000. I think if any of us who are listening think about 1,000 people affiliated with the university, this includes 10 sports teams. You know, if the football or men's basketball or women's basketball team shows up to help you out, you're going to get a lot of help. So we're excited about the day.
Gary in Jacksonville. Gary, what are your thoughts this morning? Go ahead.
Here we go. I kind of see it like this. In the 90s, we started doing making Riverside better, and we lost $300 apartments and shuffled the poor. And in the early 2000s, we made the beach better. And when we did, we lost the poor in the Hill and the South Jap area from the $450 to $500 apartment. They went to $1,000 or more, and the poor had to leave. And now when we make Arlington better, though it will make the crime rate better, we are shuffling the poor out of the area again, because by making these areas better, the rents go up, and they have to go somewhere because they can't afford it. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Gary. What about that issue, the issue of when a neighborhood gentrifies, as it's commonly referred to, General? That always is a legitimate issue. What about that?
Absolutely. And this is something where the Renew Arlington is really for everyone in Arlington to bring everybody up in that. I think one of the key elements, particularly when you have the CRA advisory board, is going to be the board that is going to be by the mayor and the city council will be the ones to spend the money. And I think that citizen input is going to be very crucial to that. So opinions like that and others, I think you bring them to the CRA advisory board. And obviously, Councilwoman Morgan or Councilman Crescenbenny representing Arlington, I think that would be of great interest to them.
549-2937 to join us this morning as we welcome JU President Tim Cost and retired General Fleming, both with the school as they discuss its Friday Charter Day of Service. What are your thoughts about that and the Renew Arlington efforts? It's 549-2937. Richard in Arlington. Go ahead, Richard.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I have a question for Mr. Cost. I've lived in Arlington probably for 30 years. I'm a JU alumni and I've taught there also. I'm talking about the area, which is Gazebo Shopping Plaza, which is a blighted area. And it's because of the property owners that are currently owning it. And also the Justina area also, which they use for training young teachers in the JU program.
Tim Cost.
If I followed that, thanks for that question. We've looked at not just what's going on, Richard, inside of our own environments, but we've looked at, you know, the role that JU professors can play in the community. Obviously, JU senior staff are out in the community. I've heard a lot of great stories, like I think the one you were starting down on, which is, you know, back in the day of Dr. Fran Kinney when she was president, that lots of Jacksonville University executives or professors were involved in lots of boards, and they were involved in the community, and they were looking at how to rebuild. And obviously I'm making a commitment that we're going to be back doing that, even as we look at things that happen off our campus.
Lots of calls from Arlington. Bill is in Arlington this morning. Hi, Bill. Good morning. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been in Arlington for over 30 years. I own two businesses. I'm a plumbing contractor. My wife has a upscale consignment store in Arlington. And we've been there a long time. We've seen a lot of changes, but the changes have been downhill changes. The crime rate's picking up. Our house has been broken into several times. And I just heard one of your callers talk about the, you know, affordable housing. And that's really the problem. Us homeowners have been there for over 30 years and have a stake in Arlington. Our property values are going down because the neighborhood is declining. And it's actually an economic desert. I mean, we have every fast food chain through there. But there's nothing there to attract people to Arlington. So that's always been a concern of mine. And I haven't seen the city it's great to get a road paved or get some street lights put up, but that's just a minor facelift. It doesn't really do much for Arlington. We need some major businesses and some major economic activity in Arlington.
Okay, thanks, Bill. A business owner in Arlington, him and his wife, General, he's getting at some of these root problems which are systemic and difficult to address, but what are your thoughts?
And that's really why the community redevelopment area was developed and approved, is to look across the board, not just into one particular area, but all across the board. And then the taxes that are specifically going to have to be reinvested into infrastructure or something that improves conditions, I think that's going to be one of the best parts of Arlington's improvement.
Yeah, if I could add to that, I mean, he's putting his finger on exactly what many of us observed as we came back. I mean, I congratulate him and other business owners who've stuck it out and worked hard for the last 30 years. Coming back after being gone for 30 years, you know, we had to start somewhere. We dug in hard. We reinvested in our own campus, and we said we're going to start attracting more and better students, more and better faculty, more and better staff, and try to see if we could get local government involved in what we were doing all the way back to Mayor Brown's administration. Now we're having great success working with Mayor Curry and his. But the caller's exactly right. And so our feeling is, if we begin to flex our muscles as an economic entity and say we're going to improve, we're going to make the roads safer, we're going to work with, as Mike's mentioning, CRAs, and you get the utilities involved, and little by little by little, people understand that that economic engine that is the university, that's where everybody can at least turn and say, we've got those hundreds and hundreds of jobs. Those guys are going to work with us on things. And this is going to take years, because it took years to get here, but we are committed.
Right, a slow process, and let's take one more call. It's Tom on the West Side. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, good morning to you all, too, and I just want to applaud all the efforts that JU's doing currently. I'm a former JU employee, and I'm glad to see that the college is moving in a positive direction. And looking at that, I was just wondering if JU is considering perhaps expanding into having a law school, which would certainly help them serve that community.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Let's talk a little bit about everything on tap at the campus in terms of academic offerings. I know that was something you wanted to mention.
Sure. Can I have the next 45 minutes? No. Thanks, Tom. And I recognize the voice. It's great to hear from you again. Couple things. I think most people know the university is made up of four colleges. I won't take a lot of time on this, but the fine arts have been with us a long time, and the arts and sciences, which is how we were founded, and now an extremely successful Davis College of Business and a Brooks Rehabilitation College of Healthcare Sciences. We are absolutely investing in both the arts and the sciences side, and I think people are usually surprised when they find out the investments we're making in big data analytics, healthcare informatics, cybersecurity, engineering, physics, et cetera, to augment the core of our being. I love what's going on in the business school and the health sciences school. Relative to law school, if you go law school, medical school, et cetera, it's fair to say the university is looking hard. We're talking with a lot of partners about what makes sense to help the whole community. And is there a way that we can bring some value in those areas? We have a lot of friends in that area. You know, there's a lot of judges who graduated from Jacksonville University. There are dozens of top attorneys in the region who graduated from Jacksonville University. And they remind me often that I should be considering this. I promise I am.
And so with all of that said, a big party coming up on Friday. You'll be giving out an award on behalf of former JU President Fran Kinney. And what else is on tap?
We have an entire charter week starting tonight. Dr. Robert Salas is going to have give us an award for exercise and medicine, bronze level. And then we have activities throughout the week, culminating with our charter weekend for our alumni. So we have an entire week of service for the community.
Lots happening. Check it out on Friday and all through the week on the JU campus and around the neighborhood. JU President Tim Kost and retired Army Brigadier General Michael Fleming, the Chief Government Military Community Relations Officer at JU. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
And there's much more still ahead, but right now, we need you to give us a call and support public radio on the First Coast. Here's how.
353-9528 is the number you should call. That was an excellent segment, as always, on First Coast Connect. We're so proud of that program that it allows you to participate with the newsmakers in our community. I'm David Luckin here with Michelle Corum. Good morning.
Good morning. We have a lot of people listening from Arlington this morning.
We sure did. Let's hope everyone who's listening is giving us a call right now at 353-9528. We're sitting at 44,367, which is a record at this time of a pledge drive. Usually,
okay.
We come in with about 2,000 or 3,000 today, 44,000, because we quietly asked you for the last couple of weeks. But now here we are because we've got a goal of 80,000. We're not quite there yet. So make the call now, 1-800-722-9528 or 353-9528 locally.
I think it's just a matter of everybody pitching in and doing whatever they can toward the final goal or whatever feels right for them. I mean, we're talking a pledge of $5 a month even is very beneficial to the ultimate goal, and it'll make you feel better. And then later, when your finances can afford it, then maybe you could bump that up a little bit. But consider a sustainer, being a monthly sustainer. If you're out there, that's, say, an average of $10 a month, and we can set that up for you so that you don't have to send something in every month. It's also a great way to help us budget, to know that that money will be coming in. So the monthly sustainer is a great option.
And whatever amount fits your budget. We had several calls this morning for $200 and $300, and we had four or $500 calls last Friday. So whatever fits your budget, though, $5, $50, $500.
It all helps.
It all helps. It all goes to help provide the programming that we pay nearly $500,000 a year for. So we can't do it without your help. And as soon as we hit our 80,000, we are out of here. We are going to quit this drive as soon as we make it. That means it could be today. It could be tomorrow. We certainly hope by Wednesday we will wrap this up. If you will call us now at 353-9528, you will help us get there and you will help us end this drive. We love the drives, but we also like to see them end.
Yeah.
Because that's how we know we made our goal.
That's right.
And it's not an arbitrary amount. It's budgeted. It is what it's a small fraction of what it actually costs us to put on the programming, but it does help us. So if you haven't done it yet, do it now. 353-9528. If you'd like to do it the old fashioned way and just write a check and send it to us at 100 Festival Park Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32202. That's a good way too. You can always go online at wjct.org and give there. Just do your part. 30 seconds away from going back to the program, so you've got plenty of time to give us a call.
We want to remind you that WJCT is here for you and for the entire community, especially programs like First Coast Connect. In the past year, we've talked about some very important matters of public policy, including mental health and public schools and arts. So if this kind of programming is important to you and helps you form informed decisions, then call us right now, 353-9528.
The Players' Championship returns this May, bringing food, friends, family, and top-tier players in golf together at TPC Sawgrass. Complimentary tickets for military and kids. Tickets at theplayerschampionship.com.
And it's a celebration of this area's incredible volunteers. Did you know that Jacksonville is the top city in Florida when it comes to citizens who volunteer their time through some worthy nonprofit effort? It's true. Nearly one in three people in the greater Jacksonville area volunteers, an average of nearly 40 hours a year. We're one of the top volunteer markets in America, as a matter of fact. And so, to celebrate that, the second annual Celebrate Good Festival is coming up this weekend. It's a way to spotlight and thank those volunteers of the First Coast that work every day to make this community better. Leanne Daddario is president and CEO of Hands On Jacksonville, and she joins us to tell us more. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And I did not realize this, but the volunteer spirit in Jacksonville is really nationally recognized. It's incredible.
It really is, and it is incredible. I say so often that what exists here is a culture. And organizations and companies spend millions of dollars creating a culture. Mm-hmm. We already have it, and it exists here. So yeah. It's really encouraging. And, you know, it's also one of those quality of life things. You know, to live in a city where you have such an amazing spirit of people showing up and helping is kind of one of those criteria where people look to live, if you will.
Yeah, it's what attracts people to a community. And you want to celebrate these folks. Hands mm-hmm. on Jacksonville hosting the Celebrate Good Festival. It's going to be everything from live music and food to volunteer opportunities, of course. This is a free event, and it's all happening at Friendship Fountain. Hopefully good weather continues all through the weekend, but Friendship Fountain this Sunday.
Yeah, I actually looked at the weather this morning. So I think it's going to be like high 70s. Picture perfect. Chamber of Commerce Day, as we would call
great.
It.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is the only festival that I am aware of that celebrates both community and corporate volunteers. It's really just our way of saying thank you. And you're right, you mentioned this. There'll be 20 or 25 nonprofits out there mm-hmm. with different volunteer activities, from writing cards to veterans to making sandwiches for the homeless. And it's also a way to check out another nonprofit and get connected. Mm-hmm. One of our things in our mission is to develop a passion for something and then be involved. So this is a way to bring your family. It's a family-friendly event. Like you said, there's music and food. But I like the volunteer opportunity piece of it, too. So mm-hmm. there's activities, but it's not just – it's activities that are benefiting others. And so I love that portion of what we do.
And Hands on Jacksonville, of course, is a way for people to connect with nonprofits. If people want to get their hands dirty, so to speak, and get involved, they need to contact Hands on Jacksonville.
I so often say our Chamber of Commerce is the way to plug into the business community. Hands on Jacksonville is the way to plug into your nonprofit community. We have people that call us that move into town and say, hey, how can I get connected? And we're like, well, we make it pretty simple. You can go on our website and find a volunteer opportunity. And people get plugged in and they get committed and put their money and their time and their efforts into a cause that they fall in love with.
And it could be anything. There's dozens of opportunities. It runs the gamut.
I had a reporter in my office about a month ago. I just did the zip code in downtown where our office is located. I believe there was like 455 opportunities just in that zip code. So yes, it's amazing. Lots
yeah,
of different ways to plug in. You can search it by keyword. You can search it by an organization. You can search by specific day. So, and it also ties into a national search. So if you're out on the road or going somewhere for the weekend, you can look what's going on in that particular city that you're visiting as well, too.
I just went to your website, Leanne, at handsonjacksonville.org.
Yep.
And right on the homepage, you can do something so easy. You can just plug in your zip code and hit enter. And immediately pops up all kinds of volunteer opportunities. I'm looking at the ones in my own zip code right now. Everything from Berry Good Farms to Bark and Biscuits to a third annual spring fling and fish fry to monthly cleanups of the neighborhood at the beaches. There's so much happening just in my own zip code.
It's absolutely incredible. We have 125 to 150 nonprofit partners that join Hands on Jacksonville just to post their opportunities on our website, because we have close to 60,000 volunteers. Mm-hmm. When you have a labor pool like that, you can accomplish amazing things.
And Celebrate Good is nice, too, because so often people who volunteer, they don't really want any attention or credit. They tend to be very quiet and unassuming. This is a way to give them a pat on the back.
Absolutely. Yeah, they typically, you know, come with a spirit of humility, mm-hmm. which is why they're getting involved in the first place. But we do want to say thank you. We know that recognition of people and their efforts is important. And so this is our way of really saying thank you to our community. Friendship's Fountain is beautiful. Like I said, the weather is going to be amazing. And we're expecting higher turnouts than we had last year. We're really excited. Super excited.
It's a great event. The first of its kind, really, for celebrating volunteers.
Absolutely.
Jacksonville's great volunteer spirit. Come on out Sunday afternoon. to the second annual Celebrate Good Festival, Sunday at 2 o'clock at Friendship Fountain on the South Bank. Food, music, fun, and a way to connect with a nonprofit that you care about. Come on out and be part of it. Leanne Daddario is President CEO of Hands On Jacksonville. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for being here.
Yep. Thanks, Melissa. We appreciate it.
Much more still to come. We'll be right back.
$5 billion. Most sources predict $5 billion are being spent on the race to the White House. WJCT and public radio won't receive any of that money or play any of those commercials. We don't sell political advertising. In fact, it's just the opposite. We anticipate increased expenses in election years. And that's where you come in. Your contribution right now will help us pay for the high-quality, dependable coverage you need to make your decision in November. Give online right now at WJCT.org.
You can buy a lot at an auction, and for some items, bidding can get pretty intense, especially if it's for energy-related equipment.
We're still seeing a significant amount of oil and gas-related equipment. You just need to look out in our yard here.
I'm Molly Wood. What's fueling the demand for more oil equipment at auctions? Next time on Marketplace from APM.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
The Players' Championship returns this May, bringing food, friends, family, and top-tier players in golf together at TPC Sawgrass. Complimentary tickets for military and kids. Tickets at theplayerschampionship.com.
A chemical engineer in California is making artificial skins that can heal themselves.
Some repair very quickly within a minute. Some take hours or days.
The plastic skin also has pressure sensors embedded in it
to help patients who lost their limb to recover their sense of touch.
Technology to restore sensation. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
On the next Fresh Air, writer Charles Bach tells us about the chapter of his life after his wife was diagnosed with leukemia. She died 2.5 years later, leaving him the single father of their 3-year-old daughter. His new novel, Alice and Oliver, is based on that ordeal and draws on his late wife's journals. Our book critic Maureen Corrigan describes the novel as haunting and raw. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, tomorrow night at San Marcos Jackrabbits, a special opportunity as local musician and writer John Citroni debuts some brand new material. We've got a preview right now. Good morning.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Can I just say thank you for squeezing me in? I know that you wedged me in and I really appreciate it.
We always try to support our local artists, especially local musicians. So people know your name, of course, for the work you've done over the years at Folio Weekly, but you're also a musician, an artist, and you've got some new stuff. Tell us about it.
Yes. Well, the CD you're holding right now, I released late last year, and we have a new one coming out tomorrow, and it's called It Eats the Light. And the reason for that title is I wanted to address people's fear of darkness in a concept album. And so there's some dark ideas on the album, but it ends with the sun coming up.
Very nice. That's kind of a timely topic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Depends on how you perceive things, but yes.
Now, you've gone a while without recording and doing new music. What brought this on?
Well, about 5 years ago, I flipped my career path from career journalist and part-time musician to full-time musician and part-time journalist. And built a studio in my backyard and started to get into recording. And I had all these ideas backed up. It's been about a decade, maybe 13 years since the band has been together.
All these ideas to get out.
So started recording them, and I have the luxury of walking back in my backyard and making music.
We have a little bit of your music from your album last year. We'll play a little of that as we keep talking. So live show tomorrow night at Jackrabbits.
That's right. And this is a band of brand new people and a stellar lineup. Everybody that is in the band is fairly visible in town. I've got Aaron DeChico and Pilar Arávalo on vocals. And you probably know Erin DeChico for the theater work she's done in town. Pilar has a wonderful voice, and they make a great team. And we've got two new people on guitar, Chris Jackson and Danny Strickland from the band Tambor, and all the way from Tallahassee, former Jacksonville resident Buck Colson on bass.
Does this band have a name?
It does. It's Dove Tonsil.
Oh, that's right. That's
people
right.
People have a hard time with this name.
What's that mean?
It is taken from, I don't know, you know, how familiar you are with sitcom television back in the 50s, but Ernie Kovacs, mm-hmm. who was an innovator in television.
A total pioneer, yeah.
Yes. He had a character called Piercy Dove Tonsils, and he's such an unusual character and such a unique individual.
Kind of like you.
Okay, thank you. I had to name my band after him.
That's cool.
Yes.
And how do you think the music scene in Jacksonville, of course, you've been covering it and writing about it for a long time. How do you think it's evolved over the years?
Well, it's interesting you ask this question because the place we're playing tomorrow night is one of the few, I think it's the only live venue that features original music every night, and it's been around, it's survived the ages in town. It's been part of the scene throughout, and even when I was touring from Orlando, we played a place called the Bad Boy Club, and it turned into Jackrabbits. And so this place has been around forever,
mm-hmm.
and it's watched the scene evolve. In the early 90s, when I got here, the mid-90s, it was an incredibly strong scene. And then it kind of died out when the aughts came around, but now it's starting to surge again, especially with the Elbow downtown.
Yeah.
Jackrabbits is still keeping things alive. You know, we had the Freebird close recently.
Yeah.
But there, you know, when one door closes, I mean, I hate to use a cliche, but another one can open if people are supportive of it. It's really the people that make the difference.
And I'm sure you've played Jackrabbits before, but
it's
been a while.
In many bands,
you probably
yes.
have memories of that place that go back quite a ways.
I remember specifically with my Frank Zappa tribute band opening for the Grandmothers. Some of the original Mothers of Invention, and that happened at Jackrabbits.
What else do you remember? What else stands out?
The fact that it used to be a smoking venue and it no longer is.
Oh, right.
It's changing with the times, and I
sure.
think that's a good thing because my daughter can come to the show tonight.
Uh-huh.
You know, what I remember especially about Jackrabbits is the character of it hasn't really changed. The ideas change and the music changes, but the character of it, the fact that Tim Hall and his crew there are specifically about original music every single night. It's an incredible thing for in Jacksonville, which isn't known specifically for its original music. For them to be able to do that for so long, I think, is a testament to the staying power of original music if people support it.
Now, if people come out tomorrow night to support you and Dove Tonsil, can they get a copy of the new CD?
Absolutely. I'm going to be selling the entire archive. It's weird. I found a cassette of our very first release. And we're opening for a band or an artist called Tomas Gorio, and he's traveling with the Traveling Gypsy. I don't know what this means. Supposedly she reads your tarot cards.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be interesting too. Yeah, it'll be a fun night.
Oh, it's going to be a great show tomorrow night at Jackrabbits as local musician and writer John Citroni debuts some new material with his band Dove Tonsil. That's tomorrow night. Get on out and take a listen. And thanks so much for giving us this preview. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Cole Pepper's up next. We'll be right back.
Join WJZT at the Timaqua National Ecological and Historic Preserve on April 16th to explore the outdoors. Kids will have the opportunity to become a National Park Junior Ranger, hunt for nature treasures, win prizes, and more. Curious George will be on hand with Maine Metal Recycling, teaching families how to recycle. This fun family event is free and runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Go to wjzt.org/events for more information.
Artists, would you like your photography, music, paintings, or poetry featured on WJCT? Submit your work to The Square, an online gallery and competition for local artists. Winners get a quality video produced by WJCT about their work. If you submitted during a past round, you can submit again. Share your work now at wjct.org/thesquare. Presented by WJCT and Grassroots Natural Market.
Coming to PBS from filmmaker Ken Burns.
Jackie Robinson was a superstar, but it wasn't enough.
Baseball was a bridge to the civil rights movement, so he said, I'm going to speak out.
He had a kind of fury in him.
Jackie Robinson took on everything we were afraid to face and changed the entire country.
If you only know the legend, you don't know the man. Jackie Robinson, a Ken Burns film. Starting Monday, April 11th at 9, 8 central, only on PBS.
And finally this hour, a shocking finish at the Masters.
I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper, wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
Cole Pepper here to tell us all about the Masters and the rest of the weekend sports news and notes, and good morning to you.
Good morning. Melissa, there's an old saying that the Masters doesn't begin until the final nine holes on Sunday.
Right.
And Jordan Spieth now certainly believes that. Spieth, the defending champion, was leading with just nine holes to play. Then, disaster. Four straight birdies got him to six under par and a four-stroke lead. Then, when he made the turn, he went bogey on 10, bogey on 11, and quadruple bogey on number 12, lost the lead and never got it back. Spieth was trying to become the youngest repeat champion in Masters history, but he couldn't finish the job on the final line. And who could? Was it a previous champion or one of the world's top players? No, it was Englishman Danny Willett, who became the first to win as an Englishman at the Masters since Nick Faldo.
How long a gap is that?
Now you ask me to do math.
Sorry.
But it's been 27 years.
Sometime.
So, 25 years. His first green jacket, of course, and his first major championship. He was ranked 12th in the world, so it's not like it's an unbelievable upset, but a guy who's never delivered on that kind of a stage in that moment. Next big tournament, of course, for the golfers is the Players' Championship next month here at TPC Sawgrass.
Of course, yeah. We'll be live from that First Coast Connect, Will, on Friday, May 13th, by the way. But yeah, it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah,
it's
and
true.
Spieth certainly has learned that the hard way.
Okay, so you, of course, are the voice, face of the Armada for their broadcast efforts, and the Armada have finally begun, or they're going to begin, their second season.
Yeah, they have begun their regular season. The home opener will be this Friday. The Armada finally got things going after a week one bye. They had the unenviable task of going on the road to face the defending champion New York Cosmos, who rarely lose at home, and last night was no different. The Armada lost by the score of 2-0, and they'll have to recover quickly again. That home opener Friday at Community First Park at the baseball grounds against Miami, the expansion team, and probably a budding rival. I'm not sure if they'll qualify as the hated Miami FC, but who knows? This will be the first time they match up in the regular season.
Now, lots going on in the sports complex for the week. Let's talk about the Suns and the Sharks. The Suns, the Jacksonville Suns, under new ownership, they're really off to an exciting start.
Yeah, and I think there's two components to this. You know, when you talk about minor league baseball, yes, the performance on the field, but you talk about the experience, the game day experience, and Ken Babbie and his group have done some upgrades there, have really improved an already great park at the baseball grounds. And they've got off to a very good start overall, winning three of the first four, and they play tonight to wrap up the season-opening homestand against the Birmingham Barons at the baseball grounds. Meanwhile, across the street, the Sharks have gotten off to a little bit of a slow start here in the season, a loss in week one. Now they play a rare Monday night game tonight, trying to get their first victory of the season. As mentioned, so this time of year, you've got Sharks, Suns, and Armada all going down at the sports complex. What once was sort of a sleepy intermediary time between the finish and into the beginning of a new football season, now is a very busy sports time in Jacksonville.
Let's talk about Florida, Florida State, the Jaguars, lots of football to talk about.
There is football, of course.
Yeah.
The spring games for Florida and Florida State over the weekend. For Florida, there is a quarterback battle that's going on. They're trying to figure out who's going to be that quarterback. It looks like Luke Del Rio, name
no relation
familiar,
to Jack Del Rio?
Son of Jack
son
Del
of,
Rio,
okay.
Who
All
is
right.
transferred back in. Is the front runner for the time being, although I think the competition is going to continue. But the most interesting thing maybe happening for the Gators is they have a kicker finally. They've been struggling in that position. And Eddie Pinheiro, who didn't kick in high school, didn't kick in junior college, booted three field goals in the spring game, including two from over 50 yards. He missed a couple from over 50 as well, but very strong leg, and it looks like the Gators have found somebody in that position. Meanwhile, the quarterback battle continues for the Seminoles. They had their spring game in Orlando over the weekend, and they're still very much up in the air as they try to find a quarterback for the Seminoles.
The Jaguars, meanwhile, as you've reported, they're going to have to play the first four games of the regular season without one of their top players, cornerback Aaron Colvin.
Yeah, suspended by the NFL for violating a substance abuse policy. Not sure whether it's performance-enhancing or otherwise, but the Jaguars will be without him for the first month. I don't think this is going to impact the draft, but I do think that there's a chance that this is going to, you know, if they draft a defensive back, it certainly gives a great opportunity in the early stages of the season.
Last but not least, the great Culpepper, of course, is known for his barbecue knowledge. And the Jacksonville Backyard Barbecue Championship is coming up April 23rd. This supports Danielle Kids. This is a delicious and worthwhile event with you, of course, as the maestro of it all.
Thank you. And I hope to see everybody out there to enjoy barbecue from some of the best barbecue teams, pro and amateur, in Jacksonville.
Now, do people need to go to danielkids.org to register?
Yeah, you go there, you can find find the ticket information there. And if you're a barbecue team that wants to try your hand as a backyard team, that's a great place to go to sign up as well.
Very nice. And last but not least, tomorrow it's Blues Day in the city of Jacksonville as the city recognizes and hosts the Parade of Champions and the national champion Rebalt Lady Trojans. You're asked to wear blue to support the championship team. There's going to be a parade that kicks off at 3 o'clock tomorrow at the Jacksonville Landing, heading down to downtown Hemming Park, up Laura Street. The whole affair will conclude with a presentation in City Council Chambers at 5 o'clock as the city salutes the national champion Rebalt Lady Trojans. Congrats to them. So tomorrow we're supposed to wear blue.
I'll do it.
Yeah. And actually we're both wearing
blue today.
So we'll just keep on with that. He's Culpepper. Always follow him on Twitter at Culpepper for all your sports news and notes. And we'll see you next Monday.
Thanks, Melissa.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow here on First Coast Connect. But right now, we need you to light up our phones and be part of our spring drive and support this program and all the other great shows you love on 89.9. Here's how to do it.
Don't go away. Don't go away before you go to that phone, 353-9528. That's 353-9528. I'm Michelle Corum. I'm here with David Luckin. David, we had some introduction to some cool music during First Coast Connect.
With our friend John Citroni, we had the president of Jacksonville University.
Right.
We've got sports.
Yep.
If we get Sean to do the weather, I think we've got like a full newscast here. We've got
package.
News, sports, and weather.
Right, yeah.
And lots of music. We're always doing music here, and we're doing the best news and information, intelligent talk you will find anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because people like you expect it from us. More than 40 years on the radio, more than 50 years on the TV side. A lot of broadcasting here, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 4 television channels, 3 radio channels.
Wow.
In fact, you know about Relax, Michelle?
Relax Radio.
We've got Relax Radio now from midnight to 5, 7 nights a week, playing really nice music.
Yes, I had it on during my book club yesterday.
Here's a little Relax.
Uh-huh. That's perfect.
A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off of his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right."
Oh, straighten up and fly right. Nat King Cole and his trio, just a sample of the kind of music you can hear every night from midnight to 5 or every day, 24 hours a day on our HD3 channel, Relax Radio. Your dollars help support the news, the music, the information, all the great things we bring you is because of folks just like you supporting us at 353-9528.
It's great music to have on in the background, no matter what you're doing. Like I said, I had it on at book club yesterday. I've had it on during Scrabble, and there's always a new song or something.
Lots of memories.
I've heard maybe, but didn't get to enjoy so much. So I really like Relax Radio, and I'm sure you do too, and are finding more and more ways to use it. Now you can hear it through the night.
Midnight to 5.
Midnight to 5. So if you enjoy Relax Radio, then now is a great time to to call because David Luckin, behind that program and bringing that to us, he would love to hear from you and know that you like it as well. So call 353-9528 with a pledge of support. Again, 353-9528. Tell us what programs you do like, whether it's news and information or music programming. And David, by the way, what's on tonight?
Route 66, we have the whole album of Deja Vu. March 11th, 1970, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young released it, and we're going to play the whole album from first track to the last track at 10 o'clock. So if you really like good music and you want a flashback, call us now at 353-9528 to support Route 66 or First Coast Connect, a program that connects you with your community and the newsmakers every day, Monday through Friday.
Right.
It's a great program that allows you to ask the folks your questions, and sometimes Michelle and I know the questions are as good as anything we would have come up with. Thank you, all the great callers and participants, and Diane Rehm the same way. Often people from Jacksonville and all along the First Coast are participating with the Diane Rehm Show. So whatever show is your favorite, whether it's Fresh Air or Diane Rehm, right, Morning Edition, all the great programs you on every morning, Waking Me Up.
I'm sorry about that.
No, but it's good.
You
good.
Have to know the weather and time and what's going on in your backyard and in the world.
Best way to wake up. Your community, that's your right world. We should make that a slogan.
Brilliant.
I think so.
Let's give an update, too, because
We're at $44,367 towards our $80,000 goal. This is our spring radio drive. We did all of this practically without any interruptions. And now, just in the next couple of days, we're going to make $80,000, and we're going to wrap up this fun drive. I know Karen Fagans wants me to wrap this by Wednesday. So we need your call right now at 353-9528. Call us now or go online at wjct.org. That's a nice way to do it. You don't have to talk to anyone. Take about 45 seconds of your time, and we do not share your information with anyone.
Oh, of course not. And we do appreciate hearing from you. And we do have volunteers here to help you with that. Or you can go to the button, wjct.org, and do it yourself. You can also pledge in a traditional manner by sending in a check of support. And you can denote on the check to what program you like as well. All the checks can come to us here at WJCT, 100 Festival Park Avenue in Jacksonville, Florida, 32202.
And you can always become a monthly sustainer for just $10 a month. That's $120 a year. That
comes, works for a lot of people.
It really does. And you don't have to worry about the reminders. You don't have to worry, did I do it? It's done automatically. Yeah. You can increase it. You kind of control your own account.
Mm-hmm.
So call and ask our volunteers about becoming a monthly sustainer at $5 or $500, whatever amount fits your budget is what we hope you will call us with. Spring Radio Drive well on its way with $44,000, but we need your call right now at 1-800-722-9528. About 30 seconds away from Diane Rehm.
Yeah, Diane Rehm. We've got a lot of great programming in the afternoon. I love my 1 o'clock in the afternoon drive home because there's something different every day. Karen made a great lineup on afternoons for us, so a really great
program. Thoughtful
radio. Thoughtful. It is. I really enjoy listening to it on the way home and all the programs we have here. So whatever your favorite is, let us know as well, 353-9528. That's 800-722-WJCT. And we thank you if you have already called in, but we're waiting for those of you that have not yet, so give us a call.